What has been the reaction of legislators and those in Hollywood concerning the recent heartbeat bill in Georgia? And is pro-life a legislative issue or a gospel issue? Stay with us on 511 News as we explore this topic and bring it captive to the obedience of Christ.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Hey guys, I am so excited. This is Chad Davidson with 511 News, and we are looking at not only the heartbeat bill and what that really means, but also some of the reaction we've seen from legislators and also from Hollywood on how they're reacting to this new bill that will save babies' lives. You see, this last week on May 7th, in Georgia, what is known as the heartbeat bill was signed by Governor Kemp, and it brought into effect one of the strictest abortion laws in the country. This, of course, has caused liberals' heads to explode. Of course, look no further than I'm sure you were just waiting for a tweet from AOC, or as she should be known as, the New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. On her Twitter page, I saw her tweet out something that I thought was just, not only is it sad and disgusting and sinful, but also it's just really dumb. I'm not calling her dumb, okay? I do believe in what Jesus said in Matthew 5. I don't want to call anybody stupid or call anyone a fool. But I believe that the statement that she made was extremely dumb. And let me read it for you. On her Twitter, she said, quote, 6 weeks pregnant equals 2 weeks late on your period. Most of the men writing these bills don't know the first thing about a woman's body outside of the things they want from it. It's relatively common for a woman to have a late period and not be pregnant. So this is a backdoor ban. Okay, let's just look at this for a second, okay? The first thing you might want to notice is that the difference between someone being pregnant and 2 weeks late on their period is the fact that there's no baby there when you're simply late on your period. There's no baby there for you to have murdered. That is the difference. Now, I understand AOC was trying to make the argument that they won't even know, and so they won't be able to go in and get a test to see before this 6 weeks, to see so they can murder their baby, okay? While she wouldn't want to use that language, that's the truth of what's going on. We have young women who some are just ignorant, some are willfully ignorant, and some do not care, that are walking into abortion mills to pay an assassin to murder the baby inside of them. And this is the kind of nonsense, this is the kind of argumentation that is being brought forth. But don't think that just dumb tweets on Twitter from legislators is all that's being done. Oh, no, no, no. What we have out here going on is literally legislators like Brian Sims in Pennsylvania going out to Planned Parenthoods and berating women who are out there standing up for the right for life. It's absolutely sad, and you have to hear this, man. I have a clip for you that you're going to have to hear so you can see how he berates an older woman. I hope that's not offensive, but an older woman on the streets praying for young women who are thinking about having an abortion. Take a listen.
A Planned Parenthood shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do. If you hear about the children, you can pray at home for children. It's probably the same place that you can feed a child, but you're not. Instead, you're out here shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do. Who would have thought that an old white lady would be out in front of a Planned Parenthood telling people what's right for their bodies? Shame on you. Shame on you for hiding your face at the same time that you're shaming other people. Again, the same laws that protect me protect you, and that's okay. You're allowed to be out here. That doesn't mean that you have a moral right to be out here. Shame on you. What you're doing here is disgusting. This is wrong. You have no business being out here. Hi, everybody.
Now, there's so many things to unwrap there in that short 40-second clip of nonsense. First of all, this idea that it's shameful for her to be out there. I want to tell you where Brian Sims could have been in this exact sort of situation in Nazi Germany. Outside of the gas chambers, crying out, "You shameful people for not wanting those Jews burned. They're not really humans." How pathetic and how disgusting that he sits there berating this woman. And quote, he says, "You have the right, but that doesn't mean you have the moral right to be here. The moral right to stand out front of a Planned Parenthood begging women not to murder their babies." Do you see this just absolutely ridiculous protest from the left, from the liberals, that it's immoral now to stop people from murdering babies? How preposterous. And if I didn't believe, if I just thought that, you know, it's just a bunch of brain waves and electricity going through our brains, I would have a tough time understanding why one side of the aisle simply has made their entire campaigns, everything about this issue of making sure that women can murder babies. To berate an elderly woman out front of a Planned Parenthood who literally says she's there to pray. I mean, how low do you have to be, Mr. Sims? How much of a coward are you? But it gets worse than that. Because Brian Sims, this isn't the first time he did this. In fact, a video also went viral with 2.8 million views of him putting a bully bounty on young girls. Listen here.
Hi, everyone. Representative Brian Sims here, and I am outside the Planned Parenthood at Southeastern Pennsylvania. Oh, no, they're leaving now. What we've got here is a bunch of protesters, a bunch of pseudo-Christian protesters who've been out here shaming young girls for being here.
Hi.
And so here's the deal. I've got $100 to anybody who will identify any of these three.
So we're
going to donate
here just
to Planned Parenthood.
For the babies.
I'm going to donate to Planned Parenthood.
And
so look, a bunch of white
more.
People standing out in front of a Planned Parenthood shaming
I'm
people.
Really
there's
sorry.
Nothing Christian about what you're doing.
I'm
nothing Christian at all about what you're doing. Hi, nothing Christian or loving or godly about what you're doing. So I've got $100 to anybody who will identify this. $100. See if you got some friends out here. $100. It'd be easier if you just give me your name and your address.
Rich,
come on.
Rich Bonite.
Rich, where you from?
Lansdowne.
Rich, what makes you think that it's your job to tell women what's right for their bodies? And the truth is, I'm not really asking because I don't care. Shame on you.
You notice he doesn't even care about the answer. I mean, not only that, It's you have to wonder if he thinks maybe people are only going to hear the audio. Because in that video, he calls them a bunch of white people. When literally you can see the one girl saying, I'm not white, I'm far from it. But this is his narrative. That it's this just, these white people are wanting to murder babies. Like Margaret Sanger. Oh, that's right. The founder of Planned Parenthood. Which he's defending. Not only defending, he's asking for people to put a dox out on these young high school girls. Asking them for their information. How absolutely pathetic that he would do that. Shame on somebody. And then, of course, the pseudo-Christians, right? Because I don't know if Brian Sims considers himself a Christian. I know he's a homosexual, but I don't know if he's a Christian, supposedly, as he would call it. But these pseudo-Christians. Now, I will be honest, the video that you just listened to, that is of Catholic young girls. So yes, I would say they were pseudo-Christian, but not because they were out there, standing up against the murder of innocent babies. But they're pseudo-Christians because their theology doesn't line up with the Word of God. So I would say that. But nonetheless, that is not at all what he meant. This man went out there to simply put them down. And do you love how this culture of bullying, how that's most of the argumentation from the left, that, oh, there's just all this bullying and this is what's happening. Now you have this is what's really going on, a gay man going and bullying young girls, oh, one of color, by the way, bullying these girls because they're standing out there praying. The mom even says, hey, we're out here praying for them. We're not yelling at anybody. And you can see The man that he yelled at and said he doesn't care about his answer, very gentle spirit he has about him. And it's really heartbreaking to watch this kind of nonsense come from the left. And these are legislators. These are people that are helping put these laws into place. And it's really sad. But what about Hollywood? Because Hollywood had a lot to say on this issue, some of which, sadly, their protests have become comical. As the person of Alyssa Milano put out on Twitter, she wanted a, quote, sex strike. Oh, that's right. She thinks this will really get the Christians. Okay, this will really get those who don't want to see babies murdered if liberals go on a sex strike. And I will quote Alyssa Milano's Twitter, quote, our reproductive rights are being erased. Until women have legal control over our own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy. Really? That's the point. We don't want you risking pregnancy by going out and sleeping around like a crazy person, because God's design is not for that. God's design is a man and woman to be cleaved together. And when they cleave together, they produce life, okay? Not death, which is what she wants. But nonetheless, I will continue her quote. She says, join me by not having sex until we get bodily autonomy back. I'm calling for a sex strike. Pass it on. Now, Alyssa, it would be great if this took off. It would be just wonderful if all the young liberal women would stop sleeping around like rabbits with people they don't know and passing along diseases to one another. And then after they get pregnant, then murdering that baby. That would be great if this actually took off. I just don't see it happening. But don't think that Alyssa Milano is the only one coming up with these great ideas. Actress Evan Rachel Wood, who some of you might remember her, she was actually Marilyn Manson's girlfriend for quite a long time. She actually, somewhat facetiously, called for, quote, mandatory vasectomies until you want to have children. She said that it could be reversed and it would save lives. Mandatory vasectomies, making sure that men can't have children. Now, she did go on to say, said, I don't actually want mandatory vasectomies. It's just a dangerous, slippery slope. But the problem is this is the kind of nonsense and bad argumentation that comes from that side of the aisle, that comes from those who are just wanting this culture of death to continue to murder babies. When a woman's right to murder the baby is more important than the baby's rights, that is when we have a major problem. And then on social media, Evan Rachel Wood went on and then tried to use the God card, of course, just like Mr. Sims was calling pseudo-Christians and whatnot. Then she wanted to use the God card, and she said, quote, dear everyone, God, whatever that means to you, loves you no matter what. Yes, even if you have an abortion, because God is everything. To say God is not is to say there is something God isn't, therefore not all-powerful. We don't know God's plan, so don't judge. Sadly, that's part of the argument that Carl Lentz used, that, you know, through your own convictions and God's the ultimate judge. The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is. He already has judged that murder is sin without a doubt, especially the hands that shed innocent blood, which is one of the things God lists that he hates. You see, when we say ignorant statements like that, well, God's the judge, don't judge, and this is all part of God's plan. The problem is when we follow that logically, you have to say that exact same thing to the rapist. These girls that are being raped, you have to say, well, it's just God's plan. God is everything. To say God is not is to say there is something God isn't, therefore not all powerful. Not that the men who do those things, and the women in some cases, not that they are just evil and disgusting, and that God hates that. When it comes to sacrificing children, God said in the book of Jeremiah that that would never even come through his mind. He would never even think about something so disgusting. And yet, we see stuff like this and this nonsense as if God's plan just falls into abortion. Like that's God's plan. It says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God's plan is this, that he's not slow concerning his coming, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. You see, that's concerning his second coming, stepping foot here on earth. You see, God, a lot of people want to say, God, why don't you judge the rapist? Why don't you judge the murderer? Because he's not just coming for them. He's coming for the liar and the thief and the adulterer and the unbeliever. He's coming for every single one of them, and he's giving them a chance to repent. Just like he says in Ezekiel 18, that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they would repent and live. That's God's heart. And blaming God for abortion, it's just absolutely the lowest of lows. That's not to say that God doesn't love the woman who ended up aborting her baby, who made that terrible decision. Because that is very much the reason, one of the big reasons Jesus went to the cross, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So yes, he does love her. And if you're going out to the abortion clinics, don't just, you want to spread the truth. Hey, this is murder. And you want to be sincere about that. But we want to also be sincere about the gospel and making sure that women know that they can still be saved. And that's the point, is that the gospel is the issue, not legislation. The gospel is what changes people's hearts. If somebody is pro-life, they can be pro-life all the way to hell. And guess what? This happens quite often. People will be pro-life until it's on their lap, until they sin against God, they commit fornication, and then they need to cover up that sin. And sin begets sin and produces death is what happens. And so what we want are people with regenerated hearts, people made new. When it comes to this issue, the issue of abortion, if you make it a legislative issue, and there's nothing wrong, this isn't an either-or situation where you can't be involved in legislation and making sure Roe v. Wade gets thrown out and a lot of the, sadly, the pro-life laws that have gone out there and been halfway and, you know, 16 weeks. So if Roe versus Wade was thrown out, then babies can now be killed at 16 weeks in some states because of pro-life laws. And we need to throw those out too. Guess what? That's fine. But we need to make sure that it's people's hearts that are changed, because you can be 100% pro-life all the way to hell. I'm sure there will be millions of people that were pro-life all the way to hell. And in fact, I've seen this with my own eyes take place. A few years ago, we were working a convention down in Long Beach for Good Fight Ministries, and we had a pro-life booth right next to us, and we were actually really excited. We were like, wow, we just came out with our DVD, The Dark Secrets of Planned Parenthood. Yeah, The Dark Secrets of Planned Parenthood. And we were excited because we were like, hey, we can give this group a bunch of our DVDs. It could be informative and they can use it to open people's eyes, especially to Margaret Sanger and her racism and the things she was trying to do to kill off the black population. And we were excited to give this lady some stuff until she came out with just, I mean, I got to be honest, she was just a rude human being. And we were like, hey, you know, we're pro-life because we love Jesus and we recognize that people are made in the image of God. And she's like, I don't get involved with any churches. I won't be involved in any churches that aren't on the front lines. And I'm like, well, do you fellowship? Like, are you in a fellowship? No, I don't get involved with that. I'm like, well, then you're in disobedience to God. So who cares how pro-life you are? And I remember when Ray Comfort came out with the DVD or the video 180. And all these babies are being saved and people were coming to the Lord through it. And it was amazing what happened with that video. And I remember he did a speaking engagement in Westlake right around here in our hometown of Simi. And I went to it and he said, you could not believe all the emails he got from people that said, hey, 180 was awesome. It was the most amazing pro-life video, changing people's minds on the spot. This is amazing. Only one thing. Can you take the gospel out of it? And I believe his remark was that a snail has a better chance of making it across the 405 during rush hour than he does of taking the gospel out of one of his videos. And that's the truth. A lot of times people want to take the gospel out of the pro-life movement. And so what you've done is take away any power when it comes to actually causing hearts to be new and to see these babies as divinely made by God inside of their mother's womb. And that lies the real issue. We make a cause, not the cause for Christ. We really, what happens is we make it about ourselves. And I want to show you an example that I got to use in Israel recently. And also in Santa Monica, you can see this if you're out here in California. But you can make it about the gospel very quickly. You can make most issues about the gospel really quickly because it's the most important thing in the universe. But I don't know if you've seen this, but you might have walked down a street where there's a big crowd and there are these anonymous mask-wearing people and they're vegans and they have these video screens with animals out in front of them. Animals being slaughtered. And basically they're like, everyone should be vegan. That's their cause. That's how they're going to save people. People are going to come vegan and then everything will be great. Well, in Israel, we got to talk to them. And the first question I ask is, oh, well, what's your view on abortion? Because we can get that question out real quick. What's your view on abortion? And what do you think of vegans' view on abortion? I'd like to find how many vegans there are in this world that aren't pro-choice. And of course, well, I believe that a woman has a right. Oh, okay. So you believe a woman has a right to choose. And then quickly we can move down. Okay, so let's see how vegan you are, you know. What do you think is the difference between you using antibacterial soap and killing bacteria versus me eating chicken? What do you think the difference is between you killing bugs at your house and me eating a burger? What do you think the difference is between all of the vermins needing to be murdered, not killed, not murdered, if we're using the biblical sense, but needing to be killed so that your tofu could be made, okay, versus a human being dying? What do you think that difference is? And of course, you know, you get crickets, which I'm sure they wouldn't have a problem eating. But nonetheless, you get crickets. And those crickets are because they don't have an answer. Because the true answer to the pro-life movement is the objective truth of God's moral law. The true answer is that God has given humans value by making them in his image. So, when a cow is killed for my food, when a chicken is killed for my food, it is different than a baby dying because they are made in God's image. And how quickly can you get to the gospel in that way? Once you recognize that that person you're talking to is, guess what, an image bearer of God, then we can get right into who God is, the gospel message, our sin, and the way that God dealt with sin. If we don't want to make pro-life a gospel issue, then get out of it. Don't go to save babies if you don't care about saving souls. Don't go to the soup kitchen if you don't care about that person's where they're going to end up eternally. All of these things, everything that you're doing, this needs to be for the cause of Christ. If it's for anything else, you are wasting your time and theirs. Don't get me wrong, I want to see babies saved. I got to go down to the streets of Holland. You see, they have more liberal views than Germany. So when we were there, a German girl was inside at 21 weeks, murdering her baby, and her friend was outside, and we got a chance to share the gospel with her. And it's so sad, you know, she was part of a church, and it's so sad the delusion that goes on and the fact that a lot of pastors are too cowardly to speak on this issue when it should be the lowest hanging fruit. When this should be the easiest issue to talk about, we have recanters who want to turn a blind eye and act like this isn't going on. When this is a gospel issue, and the people in our church need to know two things. First and foremost, that murdering babies is a sin, clear and defined in Scripture. But also they need to see that this is exactly why we need Jesus. This is exactly why we need to bring the gospels to the streets, whether it's in front of the abortion clinic, whether it's on the streets of Santa Monica, whether it's in Israel, whether it's in your own home. We need to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ because Romans 1:16 is very clear. It is the power of salvation. That is the gospel. The gospel is power. It is not a philosophy. It's not a new way of living. It isn't AA where you pray to a doorknob. The gospel is power, and it has the power to make a new heart and a new creation. And if you're not bringing that message, then go home and sit on the sidelines and let someone else bring that message. If you're too cowardly to tell that same person that is about to kill their baby that they're in danger of hellfire, then go sit out. These namby-pamby pastors that are unwilling to talk on this issue. We look at Sandy Hook and we see the wickedness of it because we see young children being murdered in their innocence. But yet we see this is going on every single day. Every time you snap your fingers, babies are being murdered. We don't stand up to this issue. There's these two songs that were written by Phil Kagi, and I'll somewhat finish on these two songs, just a couple of lyrics from them. One is called Survivor. And these words, I hope, will pluck at your heartstrings, because they did mine. This is from a baby's perspective. I'm condemned, completely unwanted. I struggle to stay inside. Oh, my dear mother, your future is haunted if they succeed and take my life. I'm cut off, exposed in this cold room. For love and warmth I strive. Will you discard me, throw away, or starve me? And slowly drain away my life. That's what's going on in abortion clinics today. As we speak, right now, that's happening to little babies. And in New York, you can do that after they're born. If you fail and don't kill the baby off well enough, well, then just let it sit there and strangle out. Absolutely disgusting. One more song, he says in the song Little Ones. Little hands, little feet, tears for him who made you. Should all on earth forsake you now, but he'll never forsake you. Who will speak up for the little ones, helpless and half abandoned? They've got the right to choose life. They don't want to lose. I've got to speak up, won't you? Won't you speak up for these little babies in the womb? Won't you stand up for them? Won't you share the power of the gospel with somebody who may be contemplating murdering their baby? Where are we? Where are the men to stand up and say, no, this isn't happening? Where are the women to stand up? Where are the Deborahs to stand up? And when someone is too scared, like Barak, to be there and go to war, that's what I want to see. I want to see men and women side by side standing up for this issue and standing up for the cause of the gospel. No more mamby-pamby, weak Christianity. This isn't about violence. This is about being soldiers for Christ in a gospel that is unwavering following that great commission. This is Chad Davidson with Good Fight Ministries, and you've been listening to 511 News. Get out there and fulfill the great commission.